Parenting is often lived in the extremes. It's either great joy or chaotic overwhelm. In one moment you're nailing it, and the next you're losing your cool. I want to help you find your way to the messy middle, to a place of balance. You see, balance is a verb, not a state of being. It is a thing you do, not a thing you are. It is an action, a process, a series of micro-corrections that you make each and every day to keep yourself feeling centered. We are never truly balanced. We are engaged in the process of balancing. Hello, I'm Dr. Laura Froyen, and this is the Balanced Parent Podcast, where overwhelmed, stressed out, and disconnected parents go to find tools, mindset shifts, and practices to help them stop yelling at the people they love and start connecting on a deeper level, all delivered with heaping doses of grace and compassion. Join me in conversations that will help you get clear on your goals and values and start showing up in your parenting, your relationships, your life with open-hearted authenticity and balance. Let's go. Hello, everybody. Before we jump into this week's episode, I just wanted to invite you to join our play challenge. Now, in the past, we used to run this play challenge live every January, and I have to be perfectly honest, my capacity to support that challenge hasn't been as high. So I skipped it this past January, and in the time in between, I've been making it a challenge that you can sign up for anytime. This way, you don't have to wait until January. You can actually go and do the challenge anytime you're ready for it. And you can sign up now at laurafroyen.com/playchallenge. So this episode will support you in your play challenge. And then there's also a private podcast that goes along with the challenge to support you even further in deepening your understanding of how important your child's play is and how you can get more peace, cooperation, and connection through play with your kiddos. All right, enjoy the episode. Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Laura Froyen, and on this week's episode of the Balanced Parent Podcast, we're going to be talking about playful parenting, why it's so important, how you can use it in a way that feels authentic and good to you, and how it can help you get more connection and cooperation and peace in your home. So for this conversation, I'm bringing in a peaceful parenting expert, Diana Yokley, and she has recently trained with Dr. Laura Morkum, the queen of peaceful parenting, and Dr. Larry Cohen, the father of playful parenting. So two really awesome places to be trained in. I'm so excited to be talking about this topic with you. Diana, why don't you tell us a little bit more about who you are and what you do, and then we'll dive in.
Yeah, thanks for having me. So excited to talk to you. Yeah, so I'm a mom of three. I have three kids under the age of 12. And so play is a big part of our household and really cultivating a household of playfulness. But as a peaceful parenting coach and recently trained as a parent educator and certified with Dr. Larry Cohen, I've really seen kind of the neuroscience behind play and understand why it's so important and in really parenting overall and building connection and, making the household more peaceful and getting cooperation, getting kids to listen and cooperate in using resources that don't feel like forced to them,
Yeah. Okay. So yeah. Can you tell us some of I always love it when we can geek out. So tell us what you learned. What are some of the things, what are some of the benefits of play?
Yeah. So I would say if we can reframe play, generally I think parents will kind of dismiss play as children's work. But when we rethink about play in terms of the nervous system, and I love, the neurobiology of peaceful parenting and playful parenting, when a child is playing on their own or with you, they're really in a state of nervous system safety. Their nervous system feels safe enough to play. They're in a state of connection, whether it's with you or with, themselves or with the world that they're in. And so when we when our kids are having a hard time, they're struggling with big emotions, they're struggling with challenging behavior, one of the best ways to reframe that is that their nervous system is in a state of unsafety, feeling unsafe, right? When they're having big emotions or challenging behavior, they're not feeling like they have emotional well-being right now in that moment. And so when we introduce the element of play, we're signaling to the child and we're tapping into this interpersonal safety, this creating safety in their bodies. Roughhousing is one of the most foundational ways to play with kids, not just because kids love it, but because the body is the container of our emotional experiences, right? And roughhousing gets the giggles going. Laughter is the antidote to anxiety. It's the antidote to feeling stuck, right? Because laughter is a neurobiological expression of safety. Again, when you think about primates playing or roughhousing, they're cueing to each other that they're not a predator. So when your child is having challenging behavior with you or in the household, they're sending signals of, this feels like a threat. Either inside of me or outside of me, or I don't feel connected to you. And so when you incorporate play in your relationship with your child, you're signaling to them without verbally saying anything. We often tend to, as adults, we often tend to go to lectures and we want to explain to them in compassionate words why things are the way they are. We want to talk about feelings. And there's a time and place for that. But especially for little kids, and don't underestimate the power of play with teenagers, even pillow fights and different activities like that. When you play, you're kind of going below the radar of like the linguistic element, right? You don't have to tap into the language in the child's brain. You basically just go to the somatics. You're going to their body. When you can play and get them laughing, get them giggling, it's not manipulative. It's really an intelligent way. It's an intelligent way to relate to a mammal, a primate, and create safety and connection so you can influence their nervous system state for more cooperation within your household.
Oh my
I'll pause there.
gosh. No, Diane, I love what you're saying, and I think it's so true. So early in my own parenting journey, I had feelings of, I don't know, concern about using playfulness to get my kids to do things because it felt a little manipulative until I sat down and really thought about what was actually happening here. Really speaking the language of the body, the language of connection, the language of play for these kids, and how there's nothing more respectful than meeting a person where they are and speaking their language. But I do think that parents feel worried that, I think. I guess maybe we can talk about concerns in a minute after we talk about kind of, so what does playful parenting mean? How can it increase cooperation? But I do think that parents are concerned around, I have cons the things I hear are, well, should I, why can't they just listen to me when I tell them to do it the first time? Why do I have to put on some big show to get, to get them to do things? Or isn't it, inauthentic, or isn't it, why is it so, I don't want to have to do those things. That's a lot of energy just to get a kid to brush their teeth, Can we talk about that a little bit too?
Yeah, I think you're right. It is like almost like this framework of respecting people's languages. Like if you were to go to a foreign country on vacation and you're a tourist, you're looking at their different things they have on display and they speak their language because they live there, you're visiting. And so you're like, can you guys say it in English? Because it's like a lot of work, and like for me to say it in your language, and and I'm paying for this, so can't we just like make it easier for me? Yes, that's kind of what I think sometimes it feels like for parents. Like, why do they have to travel to this child's land and speak their language when the child lives with me in this house? It's like, I created them. I'm the parent, and it's almost like this battle for like, whose needs are going to get met first? Like, who, and yes, there's the time and place for play. It's not to say that kids are more important than parents. Everybody's equally important. Let's respect everybody's needs, but let's also respect the fact that their primary way of relating to the world is play. That is their first language. That's how babies operate. They don't speak first. They play first. Up through like the preteen years, that is the way that they experiment, explore the world. That's how they get input from the world. They engage with it in a playful way. And so just kind of respecting that that is how they actually understand it better. So if we want to be more effective, we should speak in a language that they understand clearer and more quickly and more coherently. When we say it in our adult ways, we're actually asking them to do more work than we're doing, right? Yeah, we're saying like, right. You come up here where I'm in the adult world where I say things and you respond and we have a conversation and we talk about limits and rules. And it's like, and it's almost like the expectation on the kids is higher than the expectation on ourselves. Yeah. Now, again, parenting is hard, and I'm not blaming parents. I think what, you know, you talk a lot about internal family systems. And I think there's a part of us that feels like my needs matter too. As a parent, my needs matter too. And why can't these kids for once meet my needs? Right. Mm. And so then it's like, who's going to come to your rescue? Is the kid going to have to come to your rescue and make it easier for you in this moment? Or can you support yourself with kind of the inner wisdom and self-compassion and give yourself what you need first, kind of that self-regulation, mm-hmm. and then step two, go into connection with your child to as the adult, as the one that kind of, you know, gave them life or brought them into your world. You're the parent. You have to take responsibility, even when it doesn't feel like it's something that you want to be doing right now, right? It's kind of the work of adulthood and parenting. Yeah. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I really I love what you're saying. And I mean, so it's so important that we understand this tricky balance of, yes, we are the parents and we, you know, we have these kids and we're responsible for them. And sometimes we have to, like, you know, put our needs aside, go to their level and everything. And at the same time, we are human beings who have needs, but it's not our child's responsibility to meet those needs, right? It's our responsibility mm-hmm. to figure out, okay, so how am I going to get these needs met so that I can show up for myself and for my kids in the best way that I can, you know, like it's mm-hmm. about like mm-hmm. that balance is so tricky and so important mm-hmm. to really piece out. And I think the piece of it that is helps me when I think about peaceful parenting, not peaceful parenting, playful parenting, sorry, is that mm-hmm. I'm going to spend the time anyway. If my 3-year-old is refusing to brush their teeth, right. I'm going to spend the time mm-hmm. anyway. And that time can be spent in battles, in bribery, and, you know, in you're doing it, like force, you know, it can be spent in that way. Or it can be spent in, you know, getting a pretend phone call from our local zookeeper who tells me that, you know, animals are hiding in my children's teeth. You know, I'm going to spend mm-hmm. the time mm-hmm. either way. And playful parenting allows me to spend the time, get the job done, and connect and feel good about it. I know we're not supposed to just do stuff. No, it's okay. It's okay for us to want to enjoy parenting. It is, right? It's okay for us to want to enjoy mm-hmm. parenting. It's more fun for me. It's more fun for them. And it's more fun for me when I give myself that permission to just go to them, meet them where they are, be that playful person, let the play make it easy. I don't like brushing my teeth, even as an adult. I usually read my Kindle while I'm brushing my teeth. It's boring. I get it. Mm-hmm. It's way mm-hmm. more fun to have mm-hmm. your parent brushing your teeth, you know, finding hidden animals, you know, from the zoo than mm-hmm. to just mm-hmm. sit there and do it. You know, it makes sense that they don't want to do some of those things. It makes sense that we would want to be able to have more fun and connection and play. And I just, anyway, yeah. What your thoughts?
Yeah. And I would add that I think when we kind of go into adulthood, we stop playing in a way like kids play and we start playing in a different way. Like reading the Kindle is kind of a form of play.
It's
for
play.
You.
Yes.
State of flow, right? Like it's your preferred way to play. Whereas a kid might want to, you know, brush the sink with their toothbrush or whatever. Like it's a different kind of play because we have different, you know, mature brains, but mm-hmm. we're still playing. Like as adults, we're still playing just in our own preferred way. So it's almost like when you think about siblings and they're trying to negotiate a game to play, maybe they're different ages, like 3 years apart or something. And they have different ideas about how the game should go. Mm-hmm. So it's like, yes, what would make this pleasant for me versus what would make it pleasant for my kid? And then it's like, can we find a win-win? Because, you know, parents shouldn't feel like they have to play. You know, again, we can talk about parts as well, like finding there's a playful part somewhere, but that you can try to, like, you know, kind of bring more into like conversation, like by allowing these other parts of resistance to kind of have their speak and then move to the side a little bit, create some space for other parts. Maybe the playful part can come out and tell, you know, have a chance to speak once these other parts kind of shift aside by really looking within. Like one of the foundational aspects of playful parenting is looking within yourself if you have a hard time playing with your child, but also finding like a balance. Again, you don't have to play all of your kids' favorite games. You can play one of their favorite games and then invite them to play something that you also enjoy. So what do you like to play that they also enjoy playing? And can you meet in the middle? Look for a win-win. So it's not always just dinosaurs and trucks, but sometimes maybe it's, you know, some game that you like, you know, that is still playful in their world as well, but maybe it's not their top game. And so you kind of take turns, again, kind of like thinking about those siblings with different brain development stages. They play, eventually they end up playing, but they find a way to negotiate. They find a middle ground where we can bend the rules a little bit so everybody's happy and we can still coexist. So knowing that our kids have preferences for different types of play and we have preferences for our types of play, but how can we meet in the middle so we can still connect? Because when we're not even joining them, we're not connecting. And connection is the foundation of parenting. It's more than 80% of your parenting influence comes from the connection. Yeah. And so we've got to get into their world or invite them into ours. But again, it takes a little bit of negotiation and finding the right kind of fit for us to play.
Diana, I love that balance that you're putting in there too, because I think we sometimes feel like we get the message that we just have to lay ourselves on the altar of motherhood and sacrifice ourselves and just do it for the kids. Yeah. And that we don't have to do that. If you find Legos mind-numbingly boring, you don't have to play Legos, but find something that meets your needs and your kids' needs. I really love that you're highlighting that. And I also really appreciate you bringing in that parts work piece around if there is resistance, there might be a reason why, and there might be an invitation to look closer, to go inside. Thank you for that so much. I want to be super respectful of your time, and I want to make sure that we get to talk about, okay, so there's like these two paths of playful parenting. There's playing with your kids, and then there's using play to engage cooperation. And I think that that's the one, like we all know we're supposed to play with our kids, right? Maybe we do, maybe we don't, but the using play to engage cooperation, can we talk about like what that can look like in practice and maybe how parents can get ideas? Cause kids are so different around like the points in their routines and rhythms where they're sticking points and how they can bring playfulness in to maybe make those things go more smoothly and how play works for that, how it makes it easier for cooperation to happen.
Yeah. I mean, I would say in general, follow your child's lead. So 90%, you know, when you're trying to incorporate play into like a transition or in a challenging situation, you still want to follow your child's lead. So maybe like, so 90% of it is like your child's lead, let's say. Your child leads the play because they have to find it playful. If they don't, it's not play. It's an order from mom or dad to engage with the Legos, right? And so like whatever they kind of find playful, it has to be kind of that's got to be the foundation. But you can be the one that kind of throws the idea in there and then kind of like the crumbs, throw in some crumbs and let them come closer because you know that that's something that maybe they've engaged with in the past that they find enjoyable. And so you're kind of like suggesting maybe very tentatively or throwing something out there or setting it up in a way that is very incentivizing for them. And then, but it's in the context of following their lead because this is something that they would enjoy. And so it makes it easier because of the science of safety. Transitions are easier. Challenging behavior gets a dampened and reduced with play because you're introducing they understand play as safety. And so mm-hmm. when you need to get something done, you want to get your kids to listen and cooperate, if they go into their amygdala, they're going to be looking at, you know, they're operating from kind of an anxious perspective. And mm-hmm. you're probably going to be one of the things that looks like a predator to them. And you want to get them on your side, right? You're trying to get something done. You want to get their cooperation. You want them to listen. And so always think about how play really resonates as a safety message. It's a cue of safety. And so how can you introduce, you know, play in a moment of transition? Again, it's going to depend on your kid, because different kids find different types of play more, you know, interesting, different styles. Like somebody that's sensory avoidant might not enjoy you like jumping out from behind the wall and scaring them in a funny way, like, right? But other kids that are like, you know, that love like a hide and seek chase game, if you did that and then run out the door, who's going to be faster to the car to get to school, they might love that. And so it depends on your child and kind of looking at individual differences. But I think you first have to kind of observe your child outside of the context, outside of this situation, to understand like, what are they drawn to? What types of things piques their attention? What do they look up for when something interesting happens? And then using those strategically, use those types of plays and kind of, again, 10%, just throw in the little fishing line and wait for the fish to come, because they mm-hmm. can't resist it, right? It's their language and it's cueing them for safety. Mm-hmm.
Can I share some just examples from one of my kids who really loves play? Mm-hmm. She has my youngest, who's 8, she still has a hard time with transitions. They're still really hard. And they have been for a long time. So I have lots of playful strategies that we use to make it through transitions. Mm-hmm. Now that she's older, she just asks for them. Mommy, I'm having a really hard time mm-hmm. getting dressed this morning. Can you please make the clothes eat me? You know, so like when she was littler, I would make all of her clothes eat her, and they would, you know, as I put her pants on, I'd squeeze her legs. She loves sensory input. I'd go nom, 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 and they, you know, eat her. But like, she also loves like little, is very intrigued by little things moving on their own. And so like when it's time to clean up her Legos, which is always a battle, you know, sometimes I will just go like lay on the floor and start moving them in a line and like make them hop into the bucket by themselves. And I'll make them like make like a little like, like, and look at her, you know, mm-hmm. and then like hop into the bucket, and she'll be so delighted that she just starts doing it too. And then we're getting the Legos cleaned up, you know, like those types of things mm-hmm. are, mm-hmm. but you're so right. You have to get to know your child. And I think like, it takes time to do that. You know, that's why like in my 30 days of play challenge, I have the parents doing 10 minutes of daily play observation a day so that they can get to know their kids.
Yes.
Because play is where their kids really, you know, where they shine, where they show us what's important to them, who they are. And we can't do playful parenting if we don't know those things. So I really love that, that it's 90% child led, and you have to be really observant, picking up on what would they like? What would make this easier? What could make this more smoothly for them? Not to manipulate them, but to just make life more enjoyable. Life is meant to be lived and enjoyed and connected, you know? Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. It's in the framework of like, and I think it's in the framework of like, instead of thinking like, well, they should just do what I say, when kids are defiant and they resist and they're having challenging behavior, it's not because they love to live in that state of stress. It's stressful for them when they pick up on signals from you that they're being difficult. They don't like that. They want to be in harmony with you. They want to be in connection because that's how they're wired. They're wired for attachment with you. And so when things are going
even if it
hard,
seems like they
are
like
hard
it.
With them,
yeah,
right, yeah. And when they're having a hard time, play can make it easier because they're good people. These kids we have are all good people, just like we're good people. And so when things are hard and they can't just get it together and listen the fifth time, play can help. It's like, can we give them a hand? Can we reach out to them and say, I'm here to help you, versus, you know, staying far back and saying, we're not going anywhere till you learn this all on your own. You're on your own. And again, that's not peaceful parenting is about supporting our kids, and it's about mastery and high expectations, but people can only, you know, do hard things when they have support, and including our children. So play is just really a tool to help them get to where they want to go too.
Yeah, I love that. Diana, thank you so much for your time. Will you thank make you. Sure that everybody can find you? I know you've got a new podcast coming out and you do a beautiful yeah. summit. I would love to, you know, how do you support parents?
Yeah, I have my website is delightinparenting.com and you can find all of my content on there. And my podcast is launching in the beginning of 2024, Delight in Parenting with Diana Yokley. So I'm excited to share more resources on peaceful parenting, playful parenting, and just how we can bring more delight into our households. And yeah, I support parents with one-on-one coaching. And I also have a new course on self-compassion and peaceful parenting. And so, yeah, just working on, you know, kind of bridging the research and science of child development and neurobiology with day-to-day parenting and making it really practical and useful for people to apply these concepts to live more joyful lives with their kids. So thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, Diana, I think we're kindred spirits. And so listeners, please make sure you go check out her podcast. And if she's the right teacher for you, you know, join her programs. I'm sure they're wonderful. I think it's so important that we find our teachers and find our mentors all through the course of our lives. We have things to learn and we find the right teachers at the right time. So I hope that there's somebody listening who finds you, because gosh, you seem like you'd be fun to learn from.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Okay, so thanks for listening today. Remember to subscribe to the podcast. And if it was helpful, leave me a review. That really helps others find the podcast and join us in this really important work of creating a parenthood that we don't have to escape from and creating a childhood for our kids that they don't have to recover from. And if you're listening, grab a screenshot and tag me on Instagram so that I can give you a shout out. And definitely go follow me on Instagram. I'm at Laura Froyen, PhD. That's where you can get a behind the scenes look at what balanced conscious parenting looks like in action with my family. And plus I share a lot of other really great resources there too. All right, that's it for me today. I hope that you keep taking really good care of your kids and your family and each other, and most importantly, of yourself. And just remember, balance is a verb, and you're already doing it. You've got this.